Well, we welcome you to the PhiladelphiaEagles.com post-game show presented by Rico. A live look at the Eagles as they have completed their win over the Detroit Lions. A remarkable day at Lincoln Financial Field. Philadelphia wins it 34-20. Win number 5 in a row. We're going to keep it at Lincoln Financial Field. I'm Dave Spadaro. I'm joined by Adam Kaplan. And this is one of those games, Adam, that anybody there, anybody watching, this is one you've got to remember.
Some game, Dave, I'll never forget. This is my 14th year of covering the National Football League. I've never seen anything like this. First of all, it's my first snow game. To me, Dave, that's the story. The forecast kind of changed right before the game. It was incredible. And resilience by the Eagles here. They got down early but stuck to it, the running game, and they finally hit late in the third quarter into the fourth. And what a game by Shady McCoy, 219 yards, just remarkable. Great game by him.
217 yards, 29 carries, 2 touchdowns, an Eagles single-game record for most yards in a game, breaking Steve Van Buren's mark. And LeSean McCoy, again, showing why he is one of the very best, not only in Eagles history, but in the NFL for sure now and for many years. Does it in all conditions. And today, Adam, the snow, unlike any snow that I think I've seen since maybe 2005, Seattle Seahawks, a night game, the night that Reggie White's number 92 was retired, conditions were similar. But today, 8 inches of snow at Lincoln Financial Field, sloppy, sloppy conditions. The game was a sloppy one for the most part. The Eagles overcoming a Nick Foles interception, his first one in 238 passes, a 14-0 deficit. The Eagles came back trailing 14-6 after the three quarters, and then, Adam, in the fourth quarter, it was all Philadelphia Eagles, 28-6 for an Eagles team that had not scored in the last 4 games in the fourth quarter.
And, Dave, we would be remiss if we didn't mention this. The offensive line got off the ball in the fourth quarter. It was incredible, the space that they created. Their double teams worked, and they used the aggressiveness of the Lions' defense against them. They were tremendous. They got off their blocks, and you got to give the offensive line scheme credit because it worked. And it finally hit when they needed to in the offensive line and the running game, the story of the game to me.
Yeah, and certainly the Eagles early in the game, Adam, unable to really get anything going offensively. Toward the end of the first half, they had something going. Then it was all number 25 doing his damage. But for the most part here, the Eagles sticking to the game plan. Let's talk about, and we will throughout the show here, the in-game adjustments made by the coaching staff. Early on, some runs to the wide side. LeSean McCoy trying to make big plays. DeSean Jackson trying to make big plays. Nothing doing. Eagles then decided to go north and south. And the Philadelphia Eagles up front dominating one of the best defensive lines in this league.
Probably the best defensive tackle tandem in the National Football League, but the off-tackle runs just tremendous. Lane Johnson getting it done. The guards getting involved. Just a great job today by them.
Yeah, so the Eagles, as we take a look at the stadium, and now we welcome you in here with the full look at the Eagles' 34-20 victory. Not a bad job from the Eagles defensively. Now, no Reggie Bush in this game. Tweaked a hamstring injury, did not play. Joique Bell had a nice game, actually, for
did
the Lions.
Job, but yeah.
When you look at what the Eagles did, more than 300 yards rushing until late in the game. Nick Foles struggled, but still 11 of 22, a touchdown pass, the interception, getting the job done. No extra points tried by the Eagles. One by the Lions, which was blocked. But look at those numbers from McCoy. 29 carries, 217 yards. That is an Eagles franchise record. And DeSean Jackson, a big touchdown catch to get Philadelphia on the board.
And it was very important that the Eagles stayed with the run because the first half, first of all, the vision, no one, you couldn't see. If you tried to pass the football, who were you throwing it to? It was very tough to do that. And then the second half, good job by the coaches. Never gave up on the running game, and it hit when they needed to.
Yeah, so the Eagles win this ballgame 34-20, and it is time now to welcome you here to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro and Adam Kaplan. Here we are breathless. We are happy. Certainly a great comeback for the Eagles. Their 5th consecutive win. Now the Eagles, Adam, at 8-5. The Cowboys play tomorrow night against the Bears. Perhaps Aaron Rodgers back in the lineup after the Packers saved their season with a victory today. They play the Cowboys in 2 weeks. We are in full mode of scoreboard watching, Adam. Let's take a look here first at the day held by LeSean.
Look at the graphic. The
6 runs of 10-plus yards, 2 runs of 40-plus yards. A huge day, 7.5 yards per carry for the Mutta, the snowman, the mailman, LeSean McCoy.
And I also want to add, Bryce Brown, some good runs. Chris Polk, some good runs. A downhill power runner. A great job by him. So the running game, tremendous in the second half. And when they needed it, they got it done.
Yeah, and it was really the whole approach, Adam. It was a north-south approach. It was win the battle. It was get through the hole. And then after that, McCoy and Polk making people miss. And, you know, you can see the conditions here. This was, you know, ankle-high snow on the field. And the best that the Eagles could do is really kind of, you know, keep the yard marker, keep the yard lines clear, the sidelines clear. But there was ice, there was snow, it was terrible traction. But you see what the Eagles did on the ground. I mean, that is a winter wonderland there, Adam.
Great visual. And the funny thing was, if a running back would get in the second half 4 or 5 yards running, he could literally run 30, 40 yards because the defense was on their heels. They couldn't stand up straight. They kept falling down. So that was a smart thing by the coaches to adjust to the running game.
Lots to get to here. We've got the PhiladelphiaEagles.com post-game show presented by Rico. And we're watching some of the highlights. And look at that snow, every bit of it. For those of you watching it on TV today, just a wonderful piece of technology from Fox, able to superimpose the yard lines into your broadcast. Your view was absolutely better than the view we had from the press box. I have not witnessed anything like this in terms of lack of visibility, lack of range of visibility since the Fog Bowl in 1989. I can't remember a game where I could look from the press box and not see very well. Let's take a look at the press room as we get to Chip Kelly and the Eagles after this remarkable victory. It's a big crowd assembling. And Adam, I think everybody in that Eagles locker room has to feel absolutely great after this win.
Yeah, and I would also say, though, Dave, in the second half when the vision cleared up, you started seeing the downfield throws. And Foles was able to hit a couple, and it kind of worked. But the bottom line is they stuck with the running game. It's just kind of funny to see the Lion defensive lineman fall down because they couldn't catch McCoy or Chris Polk or Bryce Brown for that matter. And again, the coaches adjusted the smart way. What was going to work? Getting the Lions on their heels, and it worked, and they kept doing it and shoved it down their throats.
Adam, let's look at some of these numbers. 46 carries for the Eagles, 299 yards. Although I will tell you that, in my opinion, having the Eagles move the football at least a little bit in the pass game opened things up in the run game. And here's a stat that you don't see much. One penalty for 5 yards for the Eagles, absolutely huge, and a roughing the passer penalty on the Lions.
That was a big one.
Late in that third quarter, really, really hurting the Eagles, keeping the Eagles drive alive.
Yeah, and you know what? The Eagles had a couple breaks, but it's all about what you do with those breaks and take advantage of them, and they did almost every single time. The fourth quarter was dominant by the run game, completely took it over. The Lions could do nothing, and then Stafford had the big turnover late, and the Eagles once again closed the door. And the running game, when they need it, this is the key. You must be able to run, Dave, in the fourth quarter in bad weather. When you've got three good running backs and you can do it, no one could stop you.
And look at that number, not the bottom number, because time of possession, as we know, Chip Kelly doesn't care about. He cares about that line above it. Three turnovers for the Lions, one for the Eagles. Again, if you win the turnover battle by two in the NFL, your chance of winning is over 70%. And Matthew Stafford, unable to catch the snap, 7 fumbles in all. Joique Bell, as good a game as he had, still turned the ball over twice with fumbles in Eagles territory early in the game, and that really kept this football team in it.
Yeah, and you wonder in practice this week for both teams, do they kind of look at the weather, what it could be, and practice ball security?
But nobody expected this kind of snow.
I know, and we should mention for people who are not in the Philadelphia area, the weather reports all said 1 to 2 inches, very little by halftime, and a little bit more in the second half. Well, it was complete opposite. We got buried in snow in the first half. I would say at least 5 to 6 inches in the first half, especially before the game. It was crazy. An hour before the game, it was like a winter wonderland.
Yeah, and again, the weather forecast didn't give any indication that there would be a lot of snow.
No.
In fact, late in the week, the Eagles practicing outdoors because it was warm. It was windy. You try to get used to these conditions, and the conditions were nothing like this. Nobody anticipated this happening.
Dave, I wonder if Nick Foles ever played in a snow game in high school, in college. Remember, he did go to Michigan State first. You just have to wonder because the first half, a little bit of a struggle. Second half, they open it up a little bit and Foles hit a couple plays downfield.
Yeah, we'll find out from Nick Foles. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Chip Kelly and the Eagles in that locker room. We're going to get a sense of what it was like for them to play in this heavy snowstorm. 11 first downs for the Lions, just 228 yards. Eagles, 478 yards total, Adam, which I got to tell you is amazing because everybody who watched this game saw this team struggle in the first half. And in the first half, the Eagles managing just 90 offensive yards. 90 in the first half, over 350 in half number
and 35, Joique Bell was beating him. But here's one stat that's amazing. And I don't know, this surprises me. The from that stat. The Lions only had 80 yards rushing despite that great first half. The Eagles shut him down in the second half. And every time they seemed to get it, then the Eagles ran it down their throats, which, as we said before, the Lions have one of the best run defenses of the National Football League. It's very significant.
Yeah, so great in-game adjustments. Can't wait to hear from Chip Kelly. We will take some phone calls from you. Five straight wins for the Eagles as we kind of laugh our way through some of these highlights. It wasn't funny early because it was just an agonizing game, hoping the Eagles would get some kind of a spark to move things along, to open it up. And the passing game, making some play. A great Riley Cooper catch down the field, I thought, Adam, was one of the key.
What an adjustment.
Was one of the key big plays. Chip Kelly now meeting the media. Can't wait to hear what the coach has to say.
So what the heck happened to get the running game on like that suddenly?
I thought LeSean just did an outstanding job of really what, you know, we've been trying to preach here, just hitting things downhill. It was very tough, especially with this defense, to go lateral. We learned that, and with the weather, it was very difficult to go lateral. And you know, we felt like we had to get a downhill game going. I thought the job those three inside guys did was outstanding. You know, Todd and Jason and Evan against two really, really good defensive tackles. And then we just started changing up formationally kind of the look so that they couldn't chase us down a little bit from the backside. And I thought Brent Celek had a really, really good game. So,
was it wearing them down? Looked like a tail of two halves. They seem to own that
last year. Yeah, you know, that's why you got to play a full 60. And I think our guys understood that. There was no panic or anything at halftime. And, you know, just came in, made the necessary adjustments. Obviously, they scored, but it was on a very short field on Nick's first turnover of the year. And then the other two came on in the return game, which was – it was a real difficult game from a return standpoint because it was almost like you outkicked your coverage. So they could get something started. So a real credit to those guys on the offensive side of the ball. And I thought our defense played really, really well considering the situation. So,
what's it like to plan all week and walk out there and plan it's not going to take place?
Yeah, I think we're prepared for it. You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, I talked about it a little bit earlier in the year is that, you know, everybody has a plan until you and then the first snap, it kind of goes awry, whether it's so you didn't plan on something or anything, and we talk about it all the time that it's how you react to it. At times during a game, the crap's going to hit the fan. You show up here this morning, and you know our weather report was it wasn't going to snow till halftime. It didn't turn out very well. But you know it's we both had the same field. You know it's not like one team, you know, benefited from it. We're both playing in the same conditions, and I think our guys embraced it. They really enjoyed it. They had a lot of fun. You know, they kind of probably went back to when they were little kids running around out there. It was interesting just for me just to see how those guys were excited about playing in it. And I thought our fans were, I don't know if I would have been sitting out there, I can tell you that, but they were awesome. And I also would like to, that grounds crew that as much as they could and for what they did get done, they did an unbelievable job. And I think I'd just like to thank them for what they did. And, you know, it was a very, very difficult day and a lot of people contributed to it, but we're excited to be where we are right now. So. It was interesting. You know, it was really a couple times we thought we'd get some things going. Then we tried to stay out of the gun as much as we could. You know, we had a drive there early in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden we got back into the gun, and the ball goes through Nick's hands. And, you know, we had some momentum going forward, and then we go back, and we're just trying to get our footing. I think, you know, it's our ability to kind of get in and out. And then when you came out in the second half, you were wondering what the weather's going to be like. It seemed like it calmed down a little bit. It wasn't as bad as it was in the first half. So we felt like we could get it. You know, the one thing is our receivers felt like they could get open. You know, it was just whether we could actually catch a snap and throw it to them. So for the weather, I thought Riley and D-Jack did an unbelievable job for you know, considering the circumstances. So we had talked about it early, and then as the snow kept coming, we knew we weren't going to. I mean, I think they attempted one, and you saw what happened on that. It's just the ball was coming out at such a low trajectory very, very difficult to get the footing, and it was probably just, we thought, maybe a recipe for disaster. So, you know, it was going to be a non-kicking game from that standpoint. What's that?
Have you ever coached a game with that much snow?
No, I've had a few games when we were at New Hampshire where it snowed, but nothing like this.
Was it going to the hurry-up offense today? Your offense seemed to really take off once you started picking up the pace offensively.
We were actually ran the same offense the entire game. It's just about whether we execute or don't execute. So, you know, it was hurry up and sit in the first quarter for us. You know, And then we got a chance to get it going and to execute a little bit. And, you know, that's kind of what we do, you know. And again, to run the ball like we ran the ball, and considering the circumstances, that's the thing I think we're most proud of.
Or did you call shitty plays in the first half to set them up?
That's a really bad word, and you shouldn't use that.
Robbie, you said 44-yard pass. We always look for trigger points and things like that. But, I mean, that was
it was a big play, a real tough catch, you know, and that was – almost a little bit of confidence that we can get some throws off. We felt like on our receivers felt, and it was funny, Kerry Williams was the one who came up to me, and he was like, Coach, Kerry made a great point. He's like, Coach, this is what you got to do, because you can't make up speed if the guy makes a stick move on you because of the footing. You know, and Kerry was kind of the one, you know, and it's coming from a defensive guy saying, hey, if you have an opportunity to either throw a post or throw a corner route, it's hard to make up. And you know, when finally we hit Riley on it, it was almost like that kind of got us going. We got our confidence back a little bit, and then we got rolling there.
You mentioned that the weather report initially said snow at halftime. Obviously, you could tell during warm-ups it was snowing hard.
Yeah.
Take us through why. Did you start throwing out sheets of paper then and reconferring, or what did you do?
No, I mean, we just went out and played. You know, it wasn't that complicated. You know, obviously, from a play-calling standpoint, we kind of narrowed down what we were going to select from, but, you know, it was trying to get a feel of it, and it's weird because you go in, you know, after you warm up. So what was it going to like when we came back out? I know when I turned the corner, you know, when I was coming, I was like, oh, this is interesting. It seemed like it got worse, you know. So, but in those situations, they have the same exact experience, you know, and I think we're similar teams in what we do. We're both a lot of 11 personnel. We're quarterback in the shotgun. You know, Matt can throw it around a little bit. They got arguably the best receiver in the league. So, you know, it affected both of us the same way, I think.
A lot of plays that are out of the shotgun. Did you feel, like, comfortable with Nick doing a lot of the stuff under center?
And we practiced that. And you know, we felt comfortable enough in what we were going to have to do if we have to, you know, we can play in inclement weather. And we know being here that at times it's not going to be ideal, and we don't play in the dome. So we were comfortable in the fact that if we were going to have to go under more often. And I think, you know, it's a real credit to those guys in terms of what we did ball security-wise, besides the one pick where the ball sailed a little bit on Nick. You know, we didn't lose a fumble on the day. I thought that was outstanding. To be able to run the ball like we did and not turn the ball over in that weather was outstanding.
About 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, you put Todd underneath Nick's underneath center on the Jason, and you ran it right up the middle about six times. What did you see matchup-wise with your offensive line?
It wasn't as much a matchup, Sal. It was just we just felt like coming downhill was the key in terms of what we were doing, and that the more you went lateral, if it got strung out, the footing was so bad that we may not get it. So we wanted a little bit more downhill run game at that point in time. So
you mentioned those three interior linemen. What were they doing specifically to neutralize those two?
I just know that they weren't as disruptive as they've been, you know, during the year. And I know going in, that was one of the big challenges because Detroit was so stout, you know, from a run standpoint. I don't know the number, but it may have been like six or seven straight games they hadn't given up more than 60 yards on the ground. So, obviously, that was a big matchup we knew going in, and I thought Todd and Jason and Evan did a real good job of that. So,
Coach on defense, your front. Sense of the way the game is going to be
played. I had no sense. I mean, it was just – seriously. I mean, you didn't know. Well, first quarter, we had no yards. So, God forbid we continue to do that. That was going to be a long, long day for us. So, just really didn't know as we just kept kind of poking and prodding, and then we started to move the ball. That drive we had at the end of the second quarter, I think, gave us an understanding that we can move the football on them, and obviously we didn't come up with points. We kind of stalled there down in the red zone. But we felt like when we got in here at halftime, I thought our offensive staff did a really good job of putting together some formations of how to run some things and, you know, what we could come back with. But then we also felt if the snow let up a little bit, if we were going to throw it, we had a chance to take some shots. And obviously, you know, that drive with D-Jack, we hit him a couple times and then got a touchdown out of him. And the big catch by Riley kind of gave us an idea that we could do kind of both things. So
the downhill philosophy that you talked about, that was going to work today. How does McCoy's ability, I mean, he makes a lot of moves going, you know, makes a lot of his yards going laterally. Does it change anything? Do you figure it doesn't matter? He's so good.
No, I think overall, just from a schematic standpoint, we wanted to get the ball downhill. I know LeSean is a very talented back, can do some different things, but this wasn't going to be a day where we were going to get to the perimeter. I don't think, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to see. I don't think they did the same thing either. I think if you started going east and west, you're going to continue to go east and west because you couldn't stick your foot in the ground and make that hard cut, which is what you want to try to do sometimes when you're running those flat plays, you know.
At what point did you figure out the kicking
game was out the window.
Early, you know, when we got out there and we had talked about it, you know, our kickers warm up so early, it wasn't that bad on the field. But, you know, when we came back out after stretch and then getting ready for the beginning of the game, you know, Coach Phipps always keep me informed. And we talked about, you know, what's the line to gain and where can we kick from? And you know, he came up and just looked at me and said, the line to gain is really, really close if we're going to even think about a kick, you know. And it really was just a necessary deal. If this came down to, you know, if it was 2020 and it was fourth down, we may have tried to kick at that situation, but you know, we just felt that the footing was so bad that it wasn't going to be fair. And then obviously from a field goal standpoint, we were never going to do that because you can block them and return them. You know, we blocked their extra point. I know the crowd was really excited when Fletcher's running down the field, but we weren't playing Alabama today, so you can't turn them, you can't run them back. So
there were several times today where your team could have said, okay, well, that's enough.
I just think it showed everybody what we know about them, you know, and I don't think this group gives up. I think they've got way too much invested, and I think the more you have invested in something, it's a lot more difficult to quit. And it's an extremely hardworking group, and they understand that it's a long game, you know, and you just got to keep plugging away, and you can't get discouraged when you're not successful early, because in this league, there's a lot of times you're not going to be able to just go out there and say, hey, this is what we choose to do. You know, there's so many good players on the other teams that it's always going to be a battle. And they just know if we kind of hang in there and just keep fighting and just keep banging away, that good things are going to happen for us.
We've got a lot of big games.
Probably figured at some point Nick would throw his first interception, but, like, it's still kind of, you know, to see it actually happen is still kind of surprising and all.
No, I mean, I think any mistake Nick makes is kind of surprising because he just – but I understand what happened. The ball kind of sailed. Obviously, it's a weather deal. But, you know, I don't think that way. Like, oh, my God, that's Nick's first interception. What was my reaction going to be? It was just, hey, we turned the ball over. And the biggest disappointment was where they got it, you know, in terms of we put our defense on the field in an extremely short field. So.
All right, that is Chip Kelly. You know, it really is striking. Adam and I are watching Chip Kelly at the press conference, and very impressed. I mean, he is doing an absolutely fantastic job. And thinking back to last year, the Eagles hold a 10-point lead on the Detroit Lions in the fourth quarter and blow that game. And here comes the Eagles. And I Chip has talked all year about character, about playing with energy, about never giving up. And certainly, Adam, we saw that today. The Eagles, 388 total offensive yards in half number two. Mm. After the first quarter, negative yards after the first quarter. Amazing performance.
The resiliency of this football team, especially in the fourth quarter and the second half of the third quarter, just tremendous today. And to finish it, see, that's the thing. It's one thing to put up a lot of yards, but they finished.
Yeah.
That's the key, as they go with the momentum right now.
All right, we take a look at the playoffs and the Seattle Seahawks playing the San Francisco 49ers today. One. That's a huge game, everybody, because?
Wild card. They would be the second wild card right now. If they lose today, they'll be tied with the Eagles for that last wild card. So the Eagles would actually, you know, we talked about the wild card race a couple weeks ago. We didn't think the Eagles had a chance at it. They do, because they keep winning.
And, of course, tomorrow night, Dallas goes to frigid Chicago, and the Bears certainly playing for a lot, as are the Green Bay Packers. The whole NFC is a wild, crazy mess.
Yeah, and you know, for everything the fans have gone through the last couple of years, what a payback the team has given them. This has been a wild ride here. This winning streak's great. And also, they've won three in a row at home, which is also significant.
Yeah, it's significant. And the Eagles now go to the road next week. It's Minnesota. Adrian Peterson out today with an ankle injury, getting an MRI. We'll update that, of course, mm-hmm. during the week. Adam, we thank you very much for joining us here. Good job, man. Yep. What a game. We've got more to get to. LeSean McCoy, Nick Foles, postgame press conferences, your phone calls, your reaction. The Eagles, five wins in a row in a most improbable fashion today in a snowstorm at Lincoln Financial Field.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99 only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour,
Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash buys. 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Lego millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
All right, we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro joined by the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter, here at the NovaCare Complex, the PhiladelphiaEagles.com post-game show presented by Rico. Trot, been to a lot of games, seen a lot of Eagles football. Today, I thought, was one of the most memorable, crazy, remarkable games.
It was, man. Not only was it a great game by the Eagles, it looked like it was a lot of fun being out there on the, in that snow. And I would love to play in a game like that, because it just take you back to the days when you was a kid playing in the snow. And they came out the second half, man, and did exactly what they need to do. Great game, great ground game. Nick Foles bouncing back from that early interception. And, you know, what a remarkable job by the team.
And they turned everything, Jeremiah, into a north-south game.
Right.
I mean, what I guess when you're a defense playing in this condition, you want teams running sideline to sideline, not up and down.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a big part of the Eagles' defense, is running sideways, allowing McCoy to cut. But it took a couple of series for those guys to figure out we can't run sideways. But when they did start going downhill, man, did they ever.
Overlooked in all of this fun, this LeSean McCoy outburst, the big fourth quarter, for the 9th consecutive game, the Eagles holding an opponent to 21 points or less. They get 3 turnovers, Trot, and we talk week to week here about the defense. I'm looking at guys like Connor Barwin and that young defensive line and everybody doing their part, and I see a group that plays with a tremendous amount of confidence.
They are. They're playing great, and we're winning a turnover battle. It was big in this game, especially early on when the Eagles could have went down by, you know, maybe 17 points. Getting those turnovers in our red zone, you know, really came up big for the Eagles defense and this team, and especially in the second half.
All right, Trot, 8-5. Eagles have won 5 straight games. Your feeling on what does the locker room, what happens in a locker room at this point? How much does all of this winning kind of give you fuel for the next week? I mean, I believe in momentum. I believe that the psychological part of things really carries forth into game day. You believe that?
Oh, yeah. They're excited right now. They want to continue to, because, you know, they remember just a short while ago when they were struggling early on in the season. You know, I think we were 1-3. Mm-hmm. Things look real bleak for the entire team. But right now, those guys are on the roll and playing great football.
All right, so we've got some more to get to. We're going to get to Lincoln Financial Field. We're going to get to your phone calls. So start those phone calls now. 215-320-5170 is the telephone number. I know that Eagles fans are pretty razzed up about this win here today. LeSean McCoy, you played with Brian Westbrook, and taking nothing away from Brian Westbrook. To me, LeSean McCoy is a different class of running back.
He is, man. And Westbrook, he could have been on the same pace. He just didn't play long enough. But LeSean, he is a special, special athlete. The cuts and the things that he can do on the football field, there's not many guys that have come along and played this game that can do that.
We are in Philadelphia, 8 inches of snow, more nasty weather to come tonight. So what is a better way to start our phone calls here on the postgame show presented by Rico than going to D'Angelo in the Bahamas? Are you serious, D'Angelo?
Yes, I'm serious, Dave. How you doing?
So tell me what the weather is right now in the Bahamas.
The weather is very sunny, actually. It's nice and warm, about 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, hey, we're happy to be here, and thanks for calling. And what did you think of the game today?
It was an awesome game, Dave. I really loved it. The thing that stood out the most was one that our defense really played really well. They only scored on two. Like, the special teams had a little bit of issues because
yep.
of the weather.
Big issues today, right?
Yeah, but our defense really held them and played very well. Then, of course, you know, you have LeSean McCoy. He had over 200 yards, 217, I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was very good to see him have a good game because he didn't have a good game last week, and he had about 79, 80 yards.
So. But it was a good game last week, D'Angelo.
It was a
good defense. They keyed on him, and if you have a threat, Trot, of team running the football, that keeps a defense from digging in too much.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a really good defense. You're talking about two of the best tackles in the game,
mm-hmm.
and we ran the ball straight
right
at him.
Straight at him, man.
Yeah. Right at him, and very effective on the ground all day. You got to get our offensive line credit. We obviously know what LeSean can do, but you got to get that offensive line a lot of credit.
Yeah, they did well last week and this week, but I like the role that we're on. This is, we're going into the postseason type feeling right now, so we're playing really good Eagles football, so I just wanted to continue.
Well, thank you. Hey, D'Angelo, thank you very much, and get a cold shower or something. Do something. We're sitting here freezing. Thanks for the phone call, 215-320-5170, the telephone number. Dave Spadaro, Jeremiah Trotter. We'll hear from LeSean McCoy. We'll hear from Nick Foles. Much more to get to here from the locker room. And we want to get your phone calls, so keep them coming on this joyous occasion, Trot. Five straight wins. We're going to go again to the warm weather. Let's go to Florida this time and talk to Shannon in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Shannon.
My brother from another mother. What's going on, Dave? And yep. Trot, how you feeling, baby?
What's up, man?
This is the future host of Eagles Live who predicted that the Eagles would win seven consecutive games. No, I'm sorry. What was it? Nine consecutive games?
Yeah, no, you're right. Seven.
Seven consecutive games.
We're going to win eight. We were five down. I said two, but we might as well just go ahead and throw the last one in and say three to go.
Come on. All right, why not? Keep it going.
Listen, shout out to the offensive line. They did a remarkable job. But, Dave, I said it, Trot, too. I said, you know what? Shady can't do that east to west. They made the adjustment. How brilliant is it for them to make the adjustment, Trot and Dave?
Yeah, well, certainly he can do the east to west in dry conditions.
Right.
But yet, you know, Trot, does that come from the coaching staff, that kind of in-game adjustment?
I mean, it had to. I mean, you know, as soon as you came out in pregame, you saw all the snow. You had to know running east and west wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, with the way Shady ran on the ground, you may see more of this downhill running.
Well, more under center. Hey, thanks for the call, Shady.
Right.
More Nick Foles under center, more room for LeSean to go downhill. But it's interesting, Trot. The Eagles can run the football any way they want. They can run it out of the shotgun. They can run the inside zone. They can run it to the outside. They really have a lot of options. And a go-to running game down the stretch is absolutely critical.
Can you imagine the Eagles offense incorporating this north-south running game, and you got to try to stop the outside zone schemes and Nick on the center?
Yeah.
This offense could go from being one of the top to be seriously dangerous.
Yeah, you're all excited, aren't you?
Oh, man, listen, there's nothing better than front.
Okay, let's go to Nick Foles. Let me get back to that trial. We'll go to Nick Foles across the street at Lincoln Financial Field.
LeSean, I think you had 69 yards in the first three quarters and something like 140 after that with two long runs. What changed for you as far as how you were approaching your carries?
I think we took some shots deep that kind of set them back a little bit. And the guys up front, I think everybody's so intimidated and scared of their guys up front on Detroit. You know, I felt like the big guys on my team, they just took a challenge and stepped up. The whole week they talked about just running the ball, giving me different matchups one-on-one. I think not only just myself, but just the backs we do have, I think one-on-one opportunities, we're going to win. I mean, today, that's what happened.
How'd you manage running all that snow?
It was tough. To be honest, it was definitely tough. Just the normal footing and traction that we get from just stopping and cutting. Some of them I couldn't really plant like I usually plant on the dime, but it worked out. The guys were giving me so much room. I was, even on some of the tough yards where they were stopping me, I was getting about four a pop. So it worked out. It's a mental thing, I feel like. I mean, obviously it's going to be tough because it's the snow and the weather, but you don't think about it when you're running. You know, I think only if you think about it kind of sets you back a little bit.
How much more you do is based off of Joe, to go north-south the way you did today, were you surprised by that, or is it something you might have adjusted?
See, people really don't know. They just see just the moves that I make, but I actually like to run between the tackles. It gives me so much different leverage. Don't want to go up the middle, bring it outside, reverse it, you know. So I actually like to run in between the tackles. And, you know, honestly, you can see your holes. And in this – it's today. Like I said before, just the guys up front, man, just, I mean, they gave me so much room to work. You know, tons of credit that goes out to them guys. And I think this Nick hitting some balls, completing them, gives you something else to look at. No, you know what? Actually playing all my football in Pennsylvania, this was the worst game I ever played in, weather-wise.
It also seems like you like
it's the best game, too.
It also seems like you're, like, curling over guys. Were you
kind of
thinking that maybe you
would
be able to, like,
land? Well, I felt like, this season, really, the guys in the secondary, even linebackers, they're not coming to tackle me. They're throttling me down, waiting for me to cut. I don't know if they're nervous for the shake moves or they're shooting at my legs. So I'm just anticipating them to shoot. Give them maybe one stick and then hop over them because everybody's trying to cut my legs out instead of, you know, the form tackling, wrapping up, that type of thing.
What's the record mean? You broke Steve Van Buren's Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, one of the best backs to play this game and obviously to play here in Philadelphia. So it means a lot. I think records are meant to be broken, and it's been standing for so long, you know, and he's a guy, if you want to break a record, why not his? He's a guy that put so much work in. You know, and even the touchdown record. So we have some things, some history together.
Did you know he had 196 yards in the blizzard in the NFL championship?
I know now. But it doesn't surprise me, though. I actually watched some tape on him. Oh, he's pretty good. Very dominant.
Did you change your equipment in any kind of way?
You know what? I had the same gear on that I usually play in, my normal gear each week. I actually changed my cleats. I felt like I needed more traction, you know, so I changed them. I actually did it after the warm-ups. longer. A lot of guys changed them, so I just changed it. And if I didn't like it, I'll change it at halftime.
In the first half, did you see this offense take go the way you guys did in that fourth quarter, especially in a game like this? Just how key was it for you guys to just take over and pick up the way you guys did?
Just a dogfight. I think the last couple of weeks we've been struggling to close the game out. And it helps when the defense is playing like they're playing. So we had to close the game out. We did well. I think just the guys up front, you know, like I said before, just playing their butts off. You know, and Coach made some pretty good calls today. I know that last one kind of surprised everybody. Selleck up the sideline. I ought to score it, but he's a vet, so.
Did you notice that the crowd started chanting your name and the offense actually had to?
Nope. I didn't know that. Foles was hating on me. Told him to calm down.
In the first half, did you see the potential for the big plays, or was it the second half?
I just felt like just how well the line was blocking today, that we would gash them. And once Nick started throwing the ball, it was tough. I mean, due to the weather, it was tough to really play our type of offense, you know. But once the weather calmed down just enough where we can make some plays, and the way. I mean, it's the way Nick's been playing it's been amazing, you know. And as a back, yeah, it's one of the things where you're so grateful and thankful for God to play so well, because it makes the team so balanced. You know, there's no problem me with if I don't get the ball as much, because number nine is putting it down, and vice versa, if I get a chance to do my thing. So it makes the offense a lot more balanced.
Definitely. I mean, that was a very, very unique game. I've never played in a game quite like that. And just, you know, obviously we didn't play well in the first half. Weather conditions aside, we still have to go out there and execute. But the guy, you know, that's what I love about this team. We know we're going to face adversity. but we're a tight-knit group that we know that we're going to go out there and we're going to continue to play together, and we're going to figure things out, and we're going to pop a big one. We're going to put some points on the board. Defense is going to get us the ball back. We're going to have special teams plays, and we believe that each and every game. So when we face adversity like we did in the first half, there was no, you know, we came in the halftime, nobody, you know, wavered. We all knew we were going to go out in the second half and we were going to play together as a team. We were going to make plays. And just really proud of the guys for sticking together and getting another great team win.
How tough was it to throw the ball in this way?
I mean, it was definitely different. But, you know, I still feel like, you know, mis-executed in the first half. And, you know, I got to execute on certain plays. And the other team was playing in the same environment. So I know Stafford was playing with the, you know, same environment and he was throwing the ball. So I knew it was one of those things that I would adjust to it and we would adjust, you know, as a team, because the routes are changed up a little bit because of the speed of them. And the throwing, you know, when I was making throws, I couldn't really zip them, because if you zip them in that weather, it's hard to see the ball. And with the gloves or the hands, you know, it'll slip right through it. So it was just adjusting to, you know, how I wanted to throw the ball. But as the course of the game went on, I got more and more comfortable with it. And we all adjusted and made some big plays.
On the touchdown to Deshaun, there's another receiver right in the area.
When I was looking through the area, I saw Deshaun back there, and he was in back in the end zone. I saw Riley coming across, and I knew that I just needed to throw it in their area. And, you know, it was one of those things where you saw both of them, and just you got to make a play. You got to give both of them opportunity, and they both adjusted well. Deshaun came back for the ball. Riley cleared it up. And that kind of game, it's like playing in the backyard when you're a kid. You just got to make plays, and you just got to try to give them a chance. You can't really zip balls. You almost got to lob them up there and just say, hey, one of y'all go get it and make a play. And that was one of those plays. They were both in the area, so I was trying to give them a chance.
So what is it like from the quarterback's perspective, dropping back, Nick? I mean, visibility and all that kind of stuff. What are you seeing when you're dropping back?
You're seeing a lot of white. You're seeing a lot of, you know, snow coming down. But you try to zone all that out, and you just try to focus on the team and what's going on. And, you know, we got more and more comfortable as the game went on. Made some mistakes, but that's a football game. We know that we're going to, you know, I'm going to play personally as hard as I can with all I have, and I know all my teammates are going to do the same, and that's why we go so well together. And we know we're going to make mistakes, but as long as you're going as hard as you can and you're learning from through the course of the game, we know as a team we're going to be okay because we got each other's backs. And that's something that's special, and that's something that's growing here in Philadelphia. And that's how you win games. You win games as a team. And we're learning, we're getting used to each other, we're bonding as a group, and you can see that throughout this game. You know, we weren't playing well in the first half. What were we down, 14-0? And we come out, the defense does a great job, we put up 34 points, and we get another team win. And that's what's so special about playing here is we got great people. We have great people in the NovaCare facility, we have great coaches, and you know, I'm just proud to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
After the interception, did you or did anybody say anything to you? Or have you matured enough as a quarterback to say, all right, it happened?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like I told you before, they happen. And if you let, on any level, one interception defeat you, you can't play this game. You know, I knew what I did wrong. I knew that I sort of lost, was trying to give my receiver opportunity, left it a little high, but I know how I can fix it. You know, I drive it a little lower, and it's, you know, hopefully a completion. But my teammates look at me in those situations, and they look at the quarterback when there is an interception thrown. And I know a lot of hype has been made for the touchdown interception ratio that I don't even worry about. I care about the wins. And, you know, I learned from him, you know, it's an interception. I'm going to move forward, and I can't wait to get back on the field to, you know, throw a touchdown, make a big play, because that's what the teammates look at. They look at the quarterback in that situation and see how he responds. So,
surprised Chip called that last play. When you got the play to Brent to sell
it? No, it was something we had talked about on the sidelines. And, you know, Brent and I were the only ones who really knew about what was going on. So we had seen that throughout the course of the game. And you have to make big plays. You have to do stuff like that to win games in that situation. We were, you know, fourth down. We knew we needed a first down to, you know, run the clock out. That's a big play. We don't want to put the ball back in Matt's hands. So it was one of those things we had seen through the course of the game, and we were able to execute it. And Brent made a big play, and he, you know, a veteran move right there. I don't know how many people, you know, would have wanted to score a touchdown right there. And Brent, being a team player, goes down and slides because he knows if he, you know, they don't have any timeouts, we're just going to kneel and win the game.
You didn't even know that was going to happen.
I mean, I was hoping it was, because I knew that, you know, and, you know, I know Brent, and he's a team player, so I. you know, I'm proud of him for making that decision.
Evan said one of the defensive players said something to you after the interception came out and said, nice streak or something like that. Or did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear anything. I know that Detroit's got, you know, a talented defense, and, you know, they're a good group.
Not their defense, one of your own defensive players.
Oh, I guess I answered your question. I have no clue. And you got to realize when you play a game of football, you're in the zone. All the other stuff, you're with your teammates, but you really just focus on the most important thing. The streaks like that aren't, you know, when you have a streak like that, it means you're putting your team in a position to win games because of the touchdown turnover ratio. But there's also the times where there's going to be a mistake happen, and you have to have a short memory. And, you know, I just, you know, as a quarterback, you really got to put the ball where only your receivers can get in. You know, I take pride in that, but mistakes are going to happen, and it did today, but I'll get better for it and keep improving.
From your standpoint, what happened on the roughing the passer call, I think, too, when, you know, some of the Lions played them, that might have been a bad call for them from their standpoint. What happened from your standpoint?
You'd have to ask the ref that. I got hit when I threw, and, you know, he made a call. And, you know, that's probably something you'd want to ask him. I just know that I was throwing the ball deep and I got hit and he made the call. And I respect, you know, no matter what their official calls, you know, that's the end say. So I respect his calls no matter what. And, you know, sometimes there's going to be controversial calls. But once again, that's football and you can't let that defeat you because that's going to happen throughout the course of a game. We've all been through it and you got to keep playing.
Do you think it's beneficial to have a game like this on your belt where there's elements and snow and things that you've never encountered before? As you go deeper in December and then maybe playoffs, I mean, can you learn a lot from what you did today?
Of course. Playing in this kind of environment, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about your team. You learn a lot about how dealing with the environment is important. So having the ability to go out there and throw in the snow and deal with all that definitely, you know, made me mature as a player. You know, I've done it before, so now I know what it's like. So if we ever do face that again, I'll be better equipped than I was before playing this game.
Hey, Nick, going under center as opposed to the shotgun, how did that affect you, and especially your drops in your play?
I've gone under center before. We went under center a lot last year, so it really didn't change anything. I know how to do it, and I feel comfortable doing both, so there wasn't an effect. I think it was just a big thing with ball security in those situations. Sometimes in the shotgun, the ball comes out back pretty fast, and with the snow coming down, it does make the ball pretty slick. So it's just another way to control it and make sure that we could, you know, keep the ball in our hands and be smart with it.
As that second half is unfolding, do you have a chance to appreciate the moves that McCoy is making and almost wonder how is he doing that?
You know, he's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous teammate. And he made some huge plays tonight to really give us the opportunity to win the game. And I'm really, really proud of him for how he's playing and, you know, how he's, you know, taking all this in and how he handles himself. So all the moves he made tonight doesn't surprise me because I've played with him long enough to know that he's capable of doing that. And, you know, he's hungry for more, and I know he's going to continue to work to get better.
How important was this game, given how tight the division is? How important was this for your team?
I mean, it was a huge win. I think just, in, you know, not looking at the big picture, I think just today, Detroit's a really good football team. They've had some great wins. You know, they're a solid team. So just going into this game, facing adversity in the first half, facing the elements of the snow and all that, I think it was just a big win because it does allow us to grow together as a team because we went through all this together and we were able to, you know, stay on the right path and continue to motivate each other, and nobody wavered from what we knew we could accomplish. So it's a huge win.
Yeah, so both LeSean McCoy and Nick Foles have never played in this kind of wintry conditions. It was not just flurries. It was not just a little bit of rain, a little bit of sleet, a little bit of snow. It was 8 inches of snow that came down and just covered the field and made it treacherous for the players. And Trot, the Eagles came back big, so we got a lot to talk about.
Dave, snow. Not only was only it was 8 inches, it came down in a hurry.
Yeah.
You're talking about in a matter of a span of an hour?
Yeah.
Eight inches.
I mean, we saw the highlights. I don't want to say a blizzard, but it was a heavy winter snowstorm.
Thick. It was
that
sticking.
Nobody saw.
Nobody saw coming.
So it was a wild one at Lincoln Financial Field. We've got more to come from you with your phone calls, 215-320-5170. And from the locker room, the Eagles 34, the Detroit Lions 20. That's 5 in a row for the Eagles. 8-5 now. We come back to the postgame show presented by Rico in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Jeremiah Trotter here, the postgame show presented by Regal. Let's get to some phone calls because we know there are so many happy fans. No matter where you are, cold weather, warm weather, it all feels the same. Five straight wins for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to Chris in Philadelphia who joins us. Hey, Chris. Hello, Chris. I don't hear Chris. Chris is gone. 215-320-5170. Trot, we were talking during Nick Foles' press conference, and it escaped our immediate recollection that the Detroit Lions ran and run the wide nine.
Right.
In a lot of instances. And let's talk about that and the adjustment the Eagles made going from shotgun to under center and the impact that could have on a defense.
Well, you could see today how the wide nine cost us problems last year because it definitely didn't work for the Detroit Lions today with the Eagles running all over them guys, I think 289 yards rushing.
Yep.
Now, granted, they've been running the wide nine all year. They only gave up, I think, maybe 240-something over the last six games. So
why so hard, though? Why is it so difficult on a defense?
Well, one, it puts your linebackers in space, you know, because you got the ends rushing upfield. That's why I think and all year they have those two big tackles in the middle who's been absolutely dominating offensive lines. That's why I give our guys credit up front. Double teaming the two tackles and then chipping up on the linebackers and the running backs being patient, allowing those blocks to develop and those holes to develop. And then once they broke in the open field, you know, you saw LeSean hurdle safety, mm-hmm. break the tackle on the corner, and he was going to the house.
Yeah, and he makes people miss no matter
there you go.
Whether the conditions on grass, on turf, warm, cold, and in a snowstorm. LeSean McCoy, just a remarkable football player. Kenny in the Bronx joins us on the postgame show. Hey, Kenny.
E-A-G.
He sounds exhausted. You sound exhausted, Kenny.
I felt like I was at the game, Dave. You understand?
Yes.
I'm going crazy right now.
Well, you deserve it. We all deserve it.
We deserve it at Eagles. We deserve it.
Yeah.
The only thing, a little disappointing, special teams, man. You know, we praise them all, yeah, but, you know, it's all right.
Well,
you know,
fortunately, it didn't cost the Eagles, and if that's the bad game,
exactly.
That's the bad game. They have a lot to work on, no doubt.
And one, I want to make a quick point. I'm gonna let y'all go. Marshall Ford. And Deion, they want to tell what Deion Sanders talking about. They want to see Nick Foles in adversity. There you go. In the snow, adversity, overcome, and get a big win. Let's go, Eagles.
You got it. Thanks, Kenny. Yeah, no doubt Nick Foles played with some adversity today. Terrible weather. What did he show you, Trot?
And you know what? I'm kind of glad he got the whole interception thing out of the way. Now you can just focus on playing football. Now, granted, you don't want to get an interception.
I agree.
But it's kind of like a team that's 7-0, 8-0. You get that first loss. Now you can just concentrate on playing football rather than records. But that shows the maturity of a young Nick Foles only in his second year, coming out in the second half, playing great football and leading the team back to a huge victory.
Yeah, and there was a big 44-yard. You know, the Lions take a 14-0 lead, and the Eagles going nowhere offensively. And then the Eagles get a 44-yard pass from Foles to Riley Cooper. He goes up, he twists, he turns, he makes the catch. That led to DeSean Jackson's touchdown. That really seemed to get the Eagles' offense going. After that play, the way I calculated it, 367 yards of offense after Jeremy Ross returned the punt for 58 yards and a touchdown. So that's in a quarter and a half, 368 yards.
Yes.
So incredible, the number of yards gained, the points scored, the performance by the Eagles in half number two, 28 points in that fourth quarter. Let's take another phone call here, 215-320-5170. Let's go to Baz in Texas, who joins us here on the postgame show. Baz, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Dave?
Doing great, thank you.
Excellent. Hey, I used to get your newspaper about 25 years ago.
Eagles Digest. Thank you very much. You're a diehard.
But hey, what a great game. I'm in my hotel room, and I was just going crazy, just screaming all the whole time. What a great win. I mean, this really shows you what kind of team we've got. And I'll tell you what, if they get in the playoffs, hopefully they can make some noise for sure.
Well, still a long way to go. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for your being a great fan. Long way to go before the playoffs. Do players at this point start thinking about a trot with three games to go in the regular season?
Well, you start looking at your position, especially because the NFC East race is so close between the Eagles and Dallas. Obviously, they're going to watch Dallas on Monday night, hoping for a loss, hoping Chicago can pull one out in Chicago. You know, you start to look at the standings. Obviously, you want to stay focused. You don't want to change any things up. This team is hot right now. They're rolling. But you're human. You definitely start looking at the NFC race and how things play out. In the NFC.
All right, so we have talked a lot here about the offensive line, particularly, you know, containing Ndamukong Suh and Nick Farley, left guard Evan Mathis, right in the middle of it all. He was there, he was part of it, and gets a lot of credit for this offensive line playing so well. He talks about it in the locker room over at Lincoln Financial Field.
Well, we really had to adjust the game plan based on to adjust your technique and your approach and all your blocks, and it took us at least a half to do that. Came in after the half, regrouped, went back out there, and just stuck with it. And I think you kind of learned quickly throughout the course of the game exactly how to get your footing in that kind of weather, and just kept sticking with it.
You guys, I mean, you come back tie the game and then they return the kickoff. Kind of, you feel deflated at all after that?
We feel nothing. You know, We faced adversity. We've been in those kind of positions many times. You don't let it get to you. You go out and answer. You keep playing. You don't get too high or too low with your emotions. And you just keep going for four quarters. That's all you got to do.
How much easier does it make it when you have a guy that's breaking off two runs in, you know, a backup comes in and does the same thing? You're scoring.
I mean, our job is to. The offensive line's job is to make the back job easier, the back job is to make ours easier. I think we complimented each other well today. The backs are making some good runs, and finding their footing out there in that snow is not the easiest thing. So it was good to see them get out there and burst and keep going like that.
Did you like realistically expected we saw to set a franchise record today, with a single game, rushing yards in a game like this against a team like that?
See, why not? They are a talented team. They're a really good team. We have a lot of confidence in what we can do, though.
Did you feel like you guys were kind of tiring them out in the second half? Was there anything specific that you guys felt was happening that, you know, it's the second best rush defense in the league and you guys were cashing?
I think we just stuck with what we were doing. I think there's some runs that we do them pretty well. We just stuck with what we know.
Was it a matter of just getting north-south instead of trying to, try to get stretch?
Well, a lot of the runs we were calling were the north-south kind of plays because the the wide plays kind of harder to get your footing on, but we had to take wider pass, things like that. We had to really adjust and run the ball where the linemen could keep their feet up underneath them.
Was it when the snow stopped, is that kind of what helped with the footing, or was it a more a adjustment?
I think that's definitely part of it.
Yeah.
The snow stopped. Personally, I changed my cleats at halftime and got some, the studs instead of the normal moldy cleats
the linemen wear. Did most of the offensive linemen do that?
I think I was the only one. Okay. I wasn't feeling good in those other ones. So I think it definitely helped me in the second half.
You talked a little about Chris Polk. He came in, had a few times. Do you think this is like the kind of weather that suited for him, given his kind of physical bruising style?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have weather like that, you would think this kind of weather would not be good for someone like Shady, who's shifty and might slip and fall. Then he comes out and puts over 200 up there. But if you look at it on the surface, it does fit someone like Chris Polk, who's downhill, who's going to hit it. And when he got the chance, he did hit it.
How much fun was it blocking the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. The offensive line loves when you're able to run the ball with success. And the whole team was riding high. Everyone was feeling good.
All right, that's Evan Mathis, Eagles offensive guard. Let's get to some phone calls here. Tom in Buffalo joins us. Hey, Tom.
Dave, what a game. What a team.
Indeed. It's really, really fun, isn't it?
I am excited, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hey, I lived in Philadelphia most of my life, and I've never seen anything like this today. This was incredible.
Yeah, the weather week, the only game that we could remember, Trot, was 2005. It was a game against Seattle, and I believe a Thursday night, and the Seattle Seahawks came in and whooped up on the Eagles. it was the night that Reggie White's number was retired after his death. But, yeah, Tom, we could not remember another game where there was this much in-game snow, and the weather impacted the game so much.
But I can't either, Dave. I can't remember. But I'm telling you, this is a real team. This is a team.
It's a great run the Eagles are on, and let's just keep it going. It's not over yet.
No, I feel bad for Nick losing that interception
I agree with Trot. I don't want the pressure of having to never throw an interception hang on the shoulders of Nick Foles. He threw the interception. Yeah. It led to a touchdown for the Detroit Lions. It's something to learn from. And now Nick came back and won the game.
Yep. It may pay dividends in the future.
I agree.
Yep. Hey, it's a great one, boy. I love it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tom.
And you know what, Dave? It came in worst weather of the entire – I mean, in decades.
Yeah.
I can remember. This is one of the worst games I've ever seen in my lifetime with the amount of snow that they're playing on. Hey, it wasn't like it was 6 degrees and sunny. It was a tough conditions. The ball sailed on him. Hey.
And that's the way it is?
That's the way it is.
All right, let's take a break. Jeremiah Trotter with me, Dave Spadaro. It's the PhiladelphiaEagles.com post-game show presented by Rico. We'll be back in just a moment.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles.
With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro, Jeremiah Trotter of the PhiladelphiaEagles.com post-game show. We'll hear from Riley Cooper in just a moment. The Florida boy had no problem playing in this winter conditions here in Philadelphia. So we'll hear from him in just a moment. Let's go to Arizona and talk to Jared, who I'm sure is going to tell us how nice and warm and toasty it is in that dry heat in Arizona.
It is nice, Dave.
I'm sure it is. You'd rather be here, though, wouldn't you?
I would. I mean, yeah, it's been a long time, but it's nice to finally see a team with some character. I mean, it's been a long time for us, and it was a great character win, and I feel it's going to pay dividends in the long run for us. And one of the things I was surprised about was just how the announcers were knocking Shady about not being able to cut in the winter conditions. I mean, I'm a graduate of West Virginia University, and I could tell you what, I've seen that guy in winter conditions, and this is the kind of display that he puts on normally.
Yeah, I think from what I could kind of tell, I mean, early on you'd agree, Jared, those perimeter plays, trying to get to the outside, turn it up the field, just they weren't working. So maybe that's what they're referring to.
With that was just not working, and I think the conditions going from extreme to bad, were a big advantage for us, and it was a revenge game. I mean, last year they put us in a bad spot,
yes,
the Lions, and we got another revenge game coming up next week with
with
Minnesota, who took us out on a Tuesday. I think it was first game ever on a Tuesday. And,
That's right. 2010
this
season.
Team it reminds me a lot of the 2001 Eagles. It really does. I get that feel.
Well,
it's been a long time.
That's interesting because the man to my left, thanks for the call, Jared, played on that 2001 Eagles team, and it may have actually been earlier than that for me, Trot. I thought in the year 2000, Andy Reid's second season, you all believed in yourselves very heavily and came out and made the playoffs.
You know what? The conclusion or the comparison that I draw between these two seasons, 2001 and this year, is when things were going bad, Andy did a great job of keeping the team together. There was no finger pointing. The defense was supporting the offense. And that's the same thing that happened this year. Even when things were going bad, Chip Kelly did a great job keeping this team together, both sides of the ball, supporting each other, and they were able to weather the storm, play through those tough times, and now they're kind of basking in the sunset, so to speak.
Yeah, literally today the Eagles weathering the storm. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Ray Riley Cooper on the other side here. Hey, Ray, how you doing?
How you doing there, Dave?
Doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
How long has it been since we won 5 in a row, Dave?
Good question. You know, I don't have the answer to that off the top of my head. I'm going to tell you, it may have been back in 2000. I don't even want to know. 2004, maybe. I have to look that up. I'm going to look that up right now.
Where you from, man?
I'm from Kentucky.
I can hear that.
I love you, Trotter, man. You're awesome, dude.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I'm from Texas, so you know, I'm picking
you
up that
accent.
Huh? Yeah, I can hear it.
But I love y'all guys. I love you too, Dave. I'm happy, man, and I hope we go to the playoffs.
Everybody loves everybody right now.
Have a Merry Christmas, so I don't get to see y'all no more.
Well, you better be calling.
I will. I mean, it's been hard too because I've been working through the week. So.
Okay. Well, listen, we're glad to hear from you, Ray. Did you tell me about your experience today watching this game?
Well, I was kind of worried the first half, but in the second half, I was really happy because, I was really thought we were going to lose that game, to be honest with you. And in the late third quarter, in the fourth quarter, man, I was really excited.
Good. Well, good. Well, great. The last time, by the way, the Eagles won 5 in a row was in 2009. They won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row from November 22nd to December 27th. And then Jamal Jackson got hurt. The Eagles lose in Dallas and then lose in Dallas in the wild card playoff game. So thanks for the call, Ray. First five-game winning streak for the Eagles since 2009. Not easy to win in this kind of fashion.
I was on that team. That was the year I came back. And you know, we kind of went on a little run.
Yeah.
And won.
And believed in yourselves.
Yeah, believed and won some games. And you know, Dallas played a great game down in the playoffs. And you know, they beat us back to back weeks.
Yeah, 24-0 on January 3rd, and then 34-14 on January 9th. Locker room and Riley Cooper. We'll hear for that in just one moment. But let's take a look at the Eagles as they go down the stretch here. Three games remaining in the regular season. First, it's in Minnesota. Now, Adrian Peterson has a foot sprain, so we'll find out about him. Tight end John Carlson also hurt today. Eagles against Minnesota. Any chance of a letdown in this game on December 15th?
No, I don't think there's any chance of a letdown. Chip Kelly has his team right where he wants them. They have some really good veteran guys on the team. D'Amico on the defense side of the ball. I think Nick is going to continue to play well, and Shady. It's going to affect Minnesota losing Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
it's going to affect because they were already struggling at the quarterback position. Now you lose your best player on the team.
Yeah.
So, but listen, any given Sunday, you still got to go play the game because they're not the only players on that team.
And that stadium, a dome, a loud place. They pipe in all that noise. It can be unsettling.
It can. You know, the sound is going to stay in. They're going to have to do something this week to try to duplicate that dome noise. So
that's called practice every day with the noise out there.
With the noise out there. Right. And it used to work when Andy did it with us. It would work. I mean, we literally couldn't hear each other talking next to each other like this. So, you know, it's going to be important. Go down and get a win, hopefully, and just keep this thing moving. The Eagles have positioned themselves in a great spot right now. Hopefully we can keep this going.
Amazing. AR in Seattle joins us on the post-game show. AR, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. Point I wanted to make was that beginning of the season, Chip Kelly's offense was being branded as something that's very fast, but not so much physical. And Chip Kelly always said, you know, I can adapt my game coming to the NFL. Do you think this silences critics?
I think it's a great point you make. The Eagles are not a one-trick pony at all offensively. They've done it with three quarterbacks, although Matt Barkley certainly struggled. We get that. They've run the football. They've thrown the football. The Lions today chose to play their cornerbacks up in press coverage. So the Eagles were able to get to play, stretch the field just a little bit in these blizzard-like conditions. And then the running game just took over. North-south, LeSean McCoy gets to the second level and makes people miss. I'm completely impressed with the adjustments the Chip has made both during the week and in game. Trot, I think that says a lot about a coach in a rookie season in the NFL.
I'm very impressed to make that adjustment from the zone scheme because we haven't seen this offense run downhill all year long. I think maybe one time he gave it to Bryce Brown on a downhill play, but it's obvious that Detroit and their wide nine system, they didn't have an answer for McCoy running straight at
him. And then after the Vikings, Trot, it is the Chicago Bears who come to Philadelphia. They're still in the playoff picture. We want them, obviously, to win tomorrow night against the Cowboys. And then, look, I still think it's all set up to come down to the final game in Dallas at the Cowboys, and we'll find out tomorrow if that game will be flexed to a primetime event or at least a late afternoon game. Eagles have always had success down in Dallas.
Right. Now going into that game, when the Eagles win, they'll be tied, right?
Well, if the Cowboys win tomorrow night, still tied.
Right.
If the two teams are tied at the end of the season, then we'll see what happens. The Eagles have lost to the Cowboys already.
Right.
They've got a 4-0 record in the division.
Right.
My hope was that the Redskins would beat the Cowboys in a couple weeks. It doesn't look like the Redskins can beat anybody.
No.
Any chance they can turn that around? 45-10 today?
I think the writing's on the wall with Shanahan and the guys upstairs. You know, a lot of people question how he's using RG3 and, you know, is he putting his career in jeopardy? And I just think the writing's on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be some changes, which I'm not surprised. They switch coaches down there in Washington every 2 years.
you know better than that, that's for sure. All right, let's go to Yazoo, Mississippi and talk to Calvin, who joins us on our post-game show. Calvin, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, what's up, Trot?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, chilling, man. I'm one of your biggest fans, Trot. I was in the game when you was back there in 2009, buddy. I was there. Hey,
nice.
But listen, man, I'm excited, man. It seems like the first part of the season was kind of rough for me because right here in the town where I am, it's a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans. So it was rough for me. So now, man, I feel good, man. Kudos to our offensive line, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the offensive line to go out there and just play smash mouth football, and that's what they did today. I mean, we've talked about this all day. We
I know,
always
man,
wondered,
and I hope you did some for our confidence, because to fight through all that adversity, man. I mean, to be scoreless in the first half, you got the weather, you know, conditions, you know, and then you know, and to come out in that half, man, and just to execute like that, man, it was just a spark, man.
Yeah. Hey, Calvin, we agree. Thank you for the call, and the Eagles certainly did the job today. We take a look at some of the top performers. Nick Foles, numbers not good, but boy, he really managed the game well, and in the second half, got the offense moving with some big throws down the field. LeSean McCoy, of course, 7.5 yards per carry. 7 touchdowns in his career, 40-plus yards in the fourth quarter of games. That's an NFL record.
Yeah.
And then Riley Cooper, 3 catches, 74 yards. That big 44-yarder in the game. Now we look at the defensive performers. Trot, D'Amico Ryans, Connor Barwin, good to see some linebackers making some plays.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. You want to see your linebackers out there making plays. You know, obviously Detroit was kind of handicapped. It was kind of handicapped with what they could do today.
Yep. But no Reggie Bush.
But to hold a team to 8 points, you know, is remarkable. And coming up with, I think, maybe 2 or 3 turnovers.
Yeah, 3 turnovers.
3 turnovers.
The Lions fumbled the football 7 times
wow.
today.
Wow. So, the weather did affect them earlier.
Yeah.
But
so we all talked about the dome team. Would it matter? And it, you know what? It actually did.
Yeah. I mean, we was very fortunate to only be down by 8 after the first quarter. And for the defense to come up big in the red zone with those 2 big turnovers, man, was crucial, you know, going into the second half.
What a day here in Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, the scene of a flat-out snowstorm in December. So we welcome everyone to the holiday season and what is supposed to be a wintry, wintry season here in Philadelphia. Eagles handling their first moments of a snowstorm pretty darn well.
Yeah.
This team can run the football on anyone, anywhere, in every condition, and that's what you need in a playoff situation, Trot.
Only thing I was looking forward to is seeing the fans throw snowballs.
No,
we didn't get any.
No, good. Yeah, Philadelphia fans
in celebration.
In celebration.
In celebration.
Okay, yeah.
Not at the referees.
Okay.
Or,
and by the way, let's just say this. I will tell you this: everybody in the Eagles organization thankful that these fans showed up. The stadium was packed. Fans stayed in the game. Fans ignored all of this. These lousy conditions hung in there and saw just a remarkable, remarkable game. So I think we're ready for Riley Cooper in the locker room now. 3 catches, 74 yards, a big 44-yarder, wearing no sleeves, looking like a Florida kid, which he is. The winter conditions didn't bother him a bit. Let's go to Lincoln Financial Field and Riley Cooper.
When we first got out there.
We've talked enough. Watch a little football, get some work done, continue to update the website. We're back live with Eagles Live tomorrow at noon. We thank you for joining us today. Jeremiah, well done. Another win. 3 straight home wins, man.
Hey, man. Let's get it.
10 straight losses, 3 straight home wins. We like this kind of streak. We thank you all for joining us on the postgame show presented by Ricoh. Have yourselves a great Eagles night.